Some of the most iconic musicians of jazz have graced the stage at the Bluebird Inn. But the once bustling bar on Detroit's Tireman Street has stood empty for over a decade. But now there's an effort to restore it to its former glory. The Detroit Sound Conservancy has plans to turn the building into a depository for Detroit music history, as well as a live music venue. A group of volunteers met up at the Bluebird on a recent Saturday to get things underway. Stateside's April Van Buren arrived just as they collected the supplies they'd need for the day from the back of a car.
How you doing?
Good.
What's your name?
Bob.
Bob, nice to meet you, Bob.
Yep.
There you go.
My name's Carlton Goles. I'm the executive director of Detroit Sound Conservancy. We're a local nonprofit dedicated to music preservation in the city of Detroit. We've been around about 7-8 years. We're on the west side, just west of Grand River, off of Tireman. We're standing in front of a old bar. It's called the Bluebird Inn. We're calling it the legendary Bluebird Inn, but we're working on that. You know, the building's just gone through a lot. There's a lot of waterlogged stuff. It rained last night. You can see the light coming through the roof. You know, the ceiling, the tin ceiling has sort of fallen in. Well, I'm standing on what would have been the edge of the stage. We own the stage. We've already salvaged the stage. It's about waist high, about 10 feet long and about 10 feet wide, and looks a little bit like a ship. You know, some of the memorable acts that came through here would have been somebody like a Miles Davis, somebody like a John Coltrane, somebody like a Sonny Stitt who lived. Like, these are people that are very Spotifyable. People who played on Motown tracks, played in United Sound Systems, played in the studios. They all learned how to play music on the stage and in this audience.
Oh, we had church members that we said came from the Bluebird to church on Sunday. They were here Saturday and went from here to church. They were in church on Sunday, but they were here Saturday.
My name is LaVita Brown.
My family moved into the neighborhood 2 months before I was born. I don't know how many people realize, but Tireman was the division line for segregation in Detroit. It was a covenant that blacks lived on the south side of Tireman and whites lived on the north side of Tireman.
And in 1948, in the 40s, when this is becoming more of a bebop jazz kind of place, Charlie Parker plays right there in 1948.
Here's the great bird, Charlie Parker and the All-Stars. What's that first one we're going to do? Why, certainly. And here it is, Ubab Shabam.
The exact same time that's happening, the first black families are moving in to Seabalt, 2 blocks away.
In fact, the McGee home is right over here on Seabalt and Beechwood. There's a historical marker there for the Orso McGee family, because that case went all the way to the Supreme Court, which allowed black people to move north of Tireman in the late 40s.
Well, I think its heyday would have been, you know, once they built the stage. The stage, they did the renovations in 56, 57, so 58. So late 50s, you know, think Sputnik. You know, real atomic age kind of design, very modern. You know, there were booths. It would have been very comfy in a bar, and like nice lamps, sort of modern sort of cone lamps everywhere, very low light. And, you know, very serious music.
Well, really, at the time when we were coming up, we didn't know it was historic, you know. And it was just a neighborhood bar, you know, just a neighborhood bar where everybody knew your name, you know, everybody knew of you. My name is Sheila Allen Frazier, and I've lived in this neighborhood all my life. Clarence was the bartender. That was his name, Clarence. And as we became of age, we would come in, and Clarence would serve us our first legal drink. So, but it was a wonderful place to be. You know, this area was a wonderful place, you know, and I'm hoping that we can get it back to where it once was.
You know, you can't recreate 1957, but what you can do is you can bring love to it. You can engage community people. You can talk to people who do remember it in 1957. Those people are still around. Nobody's naive enough to think that we're just going to, like, snap our fingers. Detroit's changed too much. But they'll be at least to give us a sense that, like, yeah, right, feels good. So I think that's got to be the goal, right? How do you maintain the musical experience and build relationships with people through music preservation?
Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.